This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Normally, this is where we would do the C block. However, he's not here, so we're going to go with either some of the suggestions we've gotten, Kevin's Corner, Circle K, Kevin's Kitchen. So if you have a preference for any of these, this will be the only time you ever hear this segment, would be my guess.
I just want to say thanks to all the Tolos who brought all the gifts today up here and sent them up here to 4131 North Central Expressway. Thunder Dan sent some awesome cronuts and cinnamon rolls. Yep. Gavin Dawson is getting a cinnamon roll right now. And I'd like to thank everybody else for showing me the love and all the gifts they sent up here today. Kevin, what else did I get?
I'm assuming you got nothing else as far as I know.
Nice to know I won't be missed.
I'm assuming you're also pointing out that tomorrow will be your last show in studio.
Last show in Dallas.
People
That's
still
it.
Have time yep. if they want to bring
tomorrow's
gifts.
Guess. That's it, man. That's
all right.
Over.
What do you guys think about the prospect? And we're going to get to wrestling in just a second.
Yeah.
What do you think about the... What the hell was that?
It's a little LA Knight-ish.
Okay. What do you think about the prospect that this Philadelphia Eagles team that we just saw is the best Super Bowl championship team in the last 25 years? Because CBS put out an article and had them edge out the 2019 Kansas City Chiefs, who were 15-4 overall. They beat the 49ers. Remember, that was the year that they fell behind 24-0 to the Texans in the divisional round and then came all the way back and whipped them after that.
Yeah. I don't... last 25 years is tough to remember. I mean, obviously, the 07 Patriots were the best team, but they didn't win.
And the 2016 Patriots are third on the list. That was the Super Bowl overtime team. The 2006 Colts are number six. That was the Peyton Manning championship with the Colts.
What about the Cowboys?
As you well know, Mike.
That's my bit, Eric. Eric figured me out.
Unfortunately, the Cowboys do not have any appearances. But what about this one? What about the 2013 Seattle Seahawks? That was the team that demolished the Broncos in the Super Bowl. Yeah. They're number four on the list. But I just wanted to get y'all's thoughts that this Eagles team might be the best Super Bowl champion, because one of the things they threw out there, no other Super Bowl winning team this century had a top 10 quarterback, two top 20 receivers, a 2,000-yard rusher, a big, powerful offensive line, and a second-ranked scoring defense that wreaked havoc on quarterbacks without having to blitz. That's why they're number one. And especially with that defensive line, you saw all of that in the Super Bowl.
I can't argue strongly. Most recent champion, and they did destroy the Chiefs. It was total destruction. So
they did.
Yeah, I guess that they are up there. I don't think of it that way.
I get you.
I guess it makes you go, all right, does that mean the next 2 years, if they're not really losing those major pieces you just said, Does it just mean the NFL season is over as long as they're healthy at the end of the year?
Perhaps that is what they're getting at. But then again, consider this. The worst team on the Super Bowl champion group is the 2001 Patriots. That is the team that beat the greatest show on turf, obviously with help.
Yeah, they knew
but
the place.
I'm sure Tom Brady wasn't like, that was the worst Super Bowl team I was on. He was probably like, hey, we won the Super Bowl. So that's pretty awesome.
What was the Super Bowl that Wade Phillips was the head coach of and Jerry Jones regrets that he was head coach?
Didn't happen, Mike.
Are you saying that Jerry Jones might have fibbed some?
You are saying that, and I am fast-tracking the punchline.
Okay, well, I just think it's interesting that he never became a head coach again, and it's his biggest regret.
It is his biggest regret. Now, I don't think this made it on the Netflix broadcast, but you know Liv Morgan from wrestling.
Yeah, she's really little, but I would say she's very pretty.
Yeah, she is very pretty.
She was wearing some jean shorts that she cut up pretty low.
Okay.
Pretty high, I guess you'd say, because her butt cheeks were hanging out. And you could see the pocket,
like to hang out the bottom.
Yeah.
Yeah, I gotcha.
To make sure you could see her butt.
So a fan over by the screen yelled, I love you, Liv.
Okay.
At which point she turned around and flipped them off and then kept walking.
That's awesome. And that seems to be her attitude. She's kind of like
a bad guy.
Yeah. Well, girl.
Fair enough, Mike. So do you want to give us your synopsis of, hold on, Alec,
I thought it was funny they were talking to her, by the way.
Yeah.
She doesn't have a microphone. So Pat McAfee and other guy, what's his
Michael
name?
Michael Cole.
Yeah, Michael Cole. Oh, Mikey Cole. They're talking to her and asking her questions, and she's just yelling at them, and you're like, I can't understand what she's saying, but I guess you guys are having a great conversation. I can hear what you're saying. But they are kind of teasing her that if her partner won.
Raquel Rodriguez.
Yeah, from Texas, by the way.
We've had her on the show multiple times.
I remember that.
Do you?
Was I here? Is she here in studio? I do not remember this. We had her on?
Yeah. I don't remember if you were here. She's definitely been in studio.
How tall is she?
She is very tall.
Because my wife was asking me this, and I'm like, I think like Liv Morgan's maybe 5'1 or 5'2.
Because she's kind of the equivalent size, give or take, of... Alexa
she looks about
Bliss.
6 feet, I'm guessing, but maybe I'm
wrong. I think she might be legit.
I know they lie in wrestling. They make everybody taller than they are.
And that is fair. I think she might legitimately be 6 feet tall, or like 5'11.
Yeah, but they're asking her, what if she wins and you're in the echo chamber with her?
Still the elimination chamber.
Don't you think it's better called the echo chamber?
I do not.
Okay.
Alec, did you watch Raw last night?
I did.
Okay. Now, what I would like is for Mike to give his general synopsis of how it went, and then for Alec to tell us if he thinks that's good enough.
I was super pumped that they didn't start off the show by yeeting for 45 minutes. Mm-hmm. There was yeeting in the show.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I'm super struggling on how they started off the show, but I was just surprised they didn't yeet. And then I thought they're going to yeet at 8:00. And what did they do? They yeeted at 8:00, but it was a different way to yeet. They had Gunther walk through the stands as
he doesn't like nonsense.
No. And I thought that the, wrestling fans who, when I went to the wrestling event for TNA, I thought they were very disrespectful in things they were saying.
Yes.
The fans were respectful in that nobody like pushed. I thought, how do they not push him or something?
Look, Mike, I'll tell you some matches to go check out or some clips where people decide to try to get in the ring and do something.
Yeah.
They get the ever-loving crap beat out of
them. So Gunther walks down, he's talking trash and everything, and then Uso comes out, and they're like, we got to restrain him. But then he's like, okay, guys, I'll walk back to the back, no problem, even though I came out and everybody's yeeting right now. Then he sprints past all of the people, and he gets into the ring, and they kind of do their thing, and then, it goes back and forth. Like, WrestleMania. It's on this and that. And then I'm like, what's the difference between the World Heavyweight Championship and the WWE Heavyweight Champion or WWE Championship?
I feel
like there's two champions in this one sport.
They're on different shows.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it.
Okay. So anyways, then Jey Uso acts like a little baby bee in the back when they interview
me.
Nobody says I could win. I won the Royal Rumble. And blah, blah. I'm like, stop whining. Actually wrestle one time in your life. I know he won the Royal Rumble, but I'm like, all he's doing is yeeting. Get in there and wrestle. So we had Seth Rollins at the end, and he made it to the Echo Chamber in the Elimination Chamber.
Who did he beat?
Bearded guy who's not as big as him, and he shouldn't win because he's not very popular. They wrestled in 2016, and he beat Seth Rollins in 2016.
Mm-hmm. Is that Finn Balor?
Finn! Old Finn! Yep, from Star Wars.
You know what? You might like Finn. Sometimes he used
I don't know him that well.
He used to come out like in all this body paint and stuff, and it was pretty cool.
So they had this girl in purple who's from Australia, maybe?
Rhea Ripley?
No, she's pretty. Not Rhea Ripley's.
Oh, like, my gosh.
Dakota Kai?
I guess so. She won. She beat the United States girl who kind of has a woman mullet as a haircut.
Ivy Nile.
Yeah, is that, I don't know, it's kind of a woman mullet haircut.
Woman mullet. Okay.
And anyways, it was women's wrestling, so it was super slow motion, and a lot of things were telegraphed, and they move really slow, but they're moving as fast as they can.
Okay.
And they like their butts hanging out. I've noticed that out of the women who are good looking, they really like their butts hanging out of their
Do you think that's a women
right?
choice, or do you think that's a behind the scenes producers are like, hey, you want to shorten it up just a little bit? That'd be
I'm
okay.
sure it's both, because if they maybe ask the woman and they're like, no, I'm going to cover my butt.
Yeah.
Then they're like, okay, we probably shouldn't push this, but they probably talk to people like, you're good looking. You want to show more of your butt? And they're like, I do want to show more of my butt. And I'm sure that's how those conversations go.
Okay.
Oh, I know how it started off. The guy with the big beard who's all beat up, he wants to take on Kevin Nash. Is that his name? Not Kevin Nash. That's Kevin Owens. Kevin Owens.
So Sami Zayn?
Sami Zayn, the Zayner. And then the general manager comes out, you know I can't sanction this. And then they got in each other's face. And then
you just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Sanctioned it, and I'm like, well, this is, but there's it's no rules. That's when I texted you guys. I'm like, no rules. It's Zane versus
Kevin Owens
at the Exchange Chamber.
Okay, we just changed the name of the show. Alec, you just
how am I doing?
How accurate do you think this recap is?
Surprisingly accurate. You did miss a few things sprinkled in there, you know, like AJ Styles and Dom Mysterio. AJ Styles trying to get that feud with Bron Breakker.
That's where Dom said take a load off.
Yeah.
And Bron Breakker, he speared Dom by accident. He was trying to spear after Styles won.
Yeah. Mm.
He's like, look out, look out. And then he did look out at the end. And then they both looked at each other and he caught his t-shirt. Braun threw his t-shirt at him and he caught it. He's like, what is this? And I thought it would have been good if he would have done a little bit of the Randy Moss back in the day when he got in trouble and acted like he pulled his pants down and wiped his butt with the shirt that he threw at him. But he didn't do that. He was more respectful, okay. Which was nice.
Okay.
So I feel like was there any other women's matches that were kind of slow motion?
Yeah, oh my gosh. You got it pretty well. So let me incorporate some other stuff as well. What do you think about, because we haven't really talked about this, Rafael Devers just flat out saying he's like, yeah, I'm not switching positions after they signed Alex Bregman.
Okay, let's do this because this is spring training in 2004 for the Texas Rangers.
Okay, so.
Except it was opposite. It was the player who got traded. He's like, guess what? I'm a second baseman.
And he said, no, third base is my position. It's what I play. I don't know what their plans are. We had a conversation. I made it clear on what my desires were. Whatever happens from here, I don't know. Now, tell what you saw as a version of what could happen.
Soriano gets traded to the Texas Rangers, and Soriano says, I ain't moving positions. Yet Michael Young is one of the best second basemen in the game, defensively and offensively. Now, Soriano, you can argue, is better offensively because he put up more home runs, yeah, more power than Michael Young. Michael Young was more of a, I'm getting base hits.
Sure.
Soriano's more of, I'm going to get hits and homers, but not as many hits. So, obviously, there was no shortstop, so Michael Young said, all right, I will move to shortstop. As the guy who's been here for 4 years as the second baseman, I will move. If Rafael Devers likes third base so much, why doesn't he seem to practice the defensive part of it more? That's my question. All right, you love this position. If you loved it, wouldn't you do better at the defensive part of it?
Right.
Like, he's an unbelievable hitter, don't get me wrong. Sure. But, I mean, everybody knows, like, hit it around third base. There's a good chance it's a base hit against the Red Sox. And so I think Rafael Devers is a very good hitter. I don't get his, I'm the third baseman. Yeah. Well, then play it better and we wouldn't have an issue.
Right.
That being said, Alex Bregman is on a one-year contract.
With
it's 3 years, but he can opt out. So, it is a tough position for the Red Sox because you're like, how much do we tick off Rafael Devers and say, you're a designated hitter. We've seen you play third enough. And then Alex Bregman, after 1 year, goes, I've played for the Red Sox long enough. I'm a free agent again. And then you tell Rafael Devers, hey, you know that third base thing that we told you too bad? We'd like for you to go back and play it now because we just lost Alex Bregman to free agency again. So I think they're in a little bit of a tough position. But I would... Maybe the way Bobby Wilson sat down Jonah Heim, it's not the offseason anymore. They're just starting spring training. But, hey, can we work our butt off in spring training at trying to be better at this?
Yeah. Because, I mean, otherwise.
And a third baseman is a shortstop 25% of the time. Because you still run that shift. Yeah. Yes, the shortstop can't go to the other side.
Yeah.
but you're playing him up the middle, which means the third baseman has to move to pretty much the shortstop position and play shortstop. Well, Alex Bregman was the shortstop at LSU. He just won the Gold Glove. I'm not saying he's a great defensive third baseman, but he is solid. And Rafael Devers, I'll argue he is the worst defensive third baseman in the American League.
Wow.
So he is the worst at it. Now, you can argue he's the best hitter in the American League. I would say Jose Ramirez is the best hitting third baseman.
He's up in the mix.
But he's up there.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's interesting when somebody gets defensive about their position, saying that's my position, yet you don't take that position seriously.
Interesting. What do you think? How do you think it's going to play out?
Devers is going to be the third baseman. Bregman will be the second baseman. Trevor Story will be the shortstop. Rafael Cedeña, who can also play shortstop, is going to be the center fielder. My question will be this. Marcelo Meyer's ready. I'm not saying maybe for opening day,
yeah,
but he is really close to being ready. He was a high school pick that the Rangers were deciding between Jack Leiter and Meyer as the number two overall pick. They took Jack Leiter. Well, Meyer has had a really good year last year. He's ready to break onto the scene, most likely as a shortstop in the major leagues. They also, if I have this right, they traded for Vaughn Grisham. They traded Chris Sale for Vaughn Grisham, shortstop, Atlanta Braves. So now I'm like, if Devers would move to DH or slash first base, they do have Tristan Casas as a first baseman, who is a nice young prospect who got hurt last year. It makes room for Marcelo Meyer. The other thing, too, is you do have a long-term contract. I don't know how many more years are left with Trevor Story, but remember, he signed when Semien and Seager signed, so I'm assuming there's 2 to 4 more years on that contract. What do I do with Trevor Story, who can't stay healthy, and I got this kid Meyer, who I really like, Vaughn Grisham, who I traded Chris Sale for, to be an everyday player on my team? So I like Boston's team. I like their depth. They can handle injury. It doesn't make sense defensively, to be honest. Like,
yeah,
if you want to stay bad defensively, keep them there.
For the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, what is one move you'd love the Cowboys to make that doesn't involve the Jones family? We'll do that next right here on The Fan.
Genty, his first touch. And typical Ashton Genty. Look at him go! You can't bring him down! Is he? Yes, he will! A touchdown, Ashton Genty, on his first touch.
What?
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. I love that fired up call. We're going to get to something specifically about that in just a second, but wanted to give you a heads up. I believe Charlie McAvoy is out for the United States in the Four Nations final on Thursday, but the United States thinks they're going to be good to go on all of their other injuries, at least for now.
I don't want to hear about it.
No.
A seven nation army couldn't hold me back. I think it's back or down. I'm not sure.
What band is that?
Journey.
It's not Journey.
Warstick.
Isn't it the White Stripes?
Yeah, I think one of the White Stripes is a Warstick bat guy.
Okay.
I couldn't remember the name of the band.
Thank you.
Sorry. Try my best. This is the best I got.
Thank you very much.
6 shows left.
All right, Alec, I'm going to go to you on this for probably obvious reasons. One move every NFC East team should make in 2025. Now, I get it for the Cowboys. People just want to say something about the Jones family, something about the Jones family. I get it. Putting that aside, Sports Illustrated said one move they should absolutely make. Draft Ashton Genty at pick number 12. Is this, because I get it, if you want to say spend money in free agency, fingers crossed, but probably not. But is this the number one move you would like to see the Dallas Cowboys make?
Yes, because I think it's the most accessible via how the Joneses do work, which is the draft. They love to try to add their impact players every single year. They try to turn around guys in the middle rounds and make them start NFL games even when they might not be ready. And sometimes it works out really, really well to their credit. This one would be a home run pick. Absolutely. Like there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. I think that one way or another, you do need to address the running back position. I think this is the easiest. I think it's the way that makes the most sense. I haven't done my full like sit down trying to figure out this draft yet, but I would be willing to say that Genty would be a top five player in my mind. And I think he's a top five player in most people's minds. And just because positional value is still an idea, it's still a philosophy that teams go by, he will slip into the teens. If I had to put money on it right now, I think he will make it to the Cowboys pick, and I think that they will have him right there to take. So I think it's the easiest, it's the one that makes the most sense, so you may as well just go ahead and do it.
I'm not opposed to this, but I think you have to understand, Cowboy fans, if he's successful, and you'd want him to be successful, you only get 3 years on the rookie deal. And then he's going to sit out for a 4-year, $80 million contract. And about a week before the season starts, the Cowboys will give it to him. And I'm being dead serious. I'm not being an a-hole on this or a Cowboys hater. That's just the reality of agents knowing how Jerry gives in. And maybe Steven is part of that too, is if you draft him and he's as successful as you think, he never makes it close to the fifth year option. He sits out after year three and then gets the big 4-year major extension.
And I don't think the Cowboys, I hope I'm wrong about this, I don't think the Cowboys have the negotiating ability or the wherewithal to just sit there and be like, fine, then your career's over. Yeah. Like, you can just sit there and not fulfill your contract and you won't be able to be a free agent or anything like that. You can just sit there and waste away because eventually they have to show up if you want to fulfill some of the contract years. Now, I know, unfortunately, the Cowboys usually fold, whether it's CD, Zach Martin, Ezekiel Elliott, Dak Prescott. Like, there are so many examples.
DeMarcus Lawrence.
There's a lot of examples that you can use. But unfortunately, I think you're probably right about that.
Are you okay with that, Alec? If that's the case, is if you know if he's as successful as you think he can be here with Dallas, that you're going to have to give him after 3 years a 4-year, $80 million contract with like 50 of it guaranteed or 55 million of it guaranteed?
I'm banking on it because I'm okay with it because I'm banking on the fact that that's going to catapult you into some sort of window that's going to say, look, if we have the right wide receiver two, we have a dominant defense again with the new coordinator, we add some pieces there, then our window is open for those 3 years. I don't think it's open year one under a first-year head coach, but I'm banking that maybe that third year, you do have a real chance because you do have a franchise running back behind a franchise quarterback and a franchise wide receiver. So I'm okay with it banking on year three actually being successful. I could be dumb for thinking that, but you know, that's what you got to go with if you're going to go that path.
From the 817, what if Genty is gone before 12? And that could definitely happen. It feels like, and I've listened to Broadus and Wolchuk, that maybe the third round is pretty rich territory for running backs as well. Whether that means you want to go Scadabo, you want to do something totally different. I think there are other opportunities if you want to draft a running back. All right. From that, I want to totally change sports, if that's okay with you guys.
Dang it.
Yeah, I'm sure you're really sad about this, Mike. All right, so there's an article in The Ringer, and we've talked a lot about this in terms of what could happen with the Dallas Mavericks. Are we sure that NBA expansion is a good idea? Now, we've brought that up in terms of, like, if you think the Mavericks are going to move to Las Vegas and then Dallas gets an expansion team, or you think they're going to stay right here, depending on how the gambling bill goes, and Las Vegas could get an expansion team. It's been 21 years, longest drought in NBA history since they last expanded. But at a time where I feel like, and I know we're still all sad about Luka. By the way, the season premiere of Last Week Tonight with John Oliver was talking about what are surely popular Google searches, and one of them was about Luka. So you see that it's gone like everywhere. But at a time when people are complaining about not just the All-Star game, but the ratings, the play, the amount of talent, the rules, blah, 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 blah. Is this the best time to talk about expansion?
Well,
monetarily, sure, I get it.
Yeah, I guess this. there are some cities struggling with their NBA team, like to draw an audience for them to care. New Orleans, Charlotte come to mind. I'm sure there's a few others, but those come to mind as they don't give two craps about NBA basketball and pretty much never have for the most part. So you could move those teams, but I guess in the world of making it even numbers and making it a lot easier is you get 16 and 16.
Yeah.
Vegas desperately wants an NBA basketball team.
I know your thoughts about that.
They do.
I agree.
Right? They desperately want an NBA basketball team because they have everything now there. They have hockey, football, about to get baseball in 2 to 4 years, give or take, for the Athletics, and then they get a basketball team. What other city is desperately wanting an NBA team? Seattle?
Yeah, maybe Seattle. And there's a talk that like the licensing fees or the franchise fee is going to go way up. And so that might entice them to add the two more teams like you were talking about. I'm not sure beyond that because I've thought specifically about Vegas and Seattle.
Now, and I don't know this. There's been plenty of people that have said, all right, I wouldn't say plenty of people. There's been specific people say, all right, I'll give you Mark Cuban, $3.75 million. Don't care about this sport at all, but I want in for gambling. It hasn't seemed to be like huge bidding wars recently for NBA teams. There's been a person step up and then groups have failed to raise the money.
Yeah.
To get as much money as that team is worth. So expansion does... Let's just put it at $2 billion. It might be more than that.
It is more than that, yeah.
$2.5 billion?
Last was $2.5 billion, but apparently...
To enter the league?
Yes. Owners think it can go up by quite a bit.
Yeah. So,
good luck with that, I know.
So that's just the tough part is finding, let's just say, two groups or two people that each have $3 billion in liquid assets plus more money for the first few years of running that team. And I get, I think you make a lot of money owning sports teams. If the smartest people in the world wouldn't keep buying them.
Sure.
If they weren't making money on a year-to-year basis, plus making huge gains when they decide to sell the team 10 years down the road or 25 years down the road, whenever it is. So I don't think it's a bad time, but I hear you in that, hey, they're struggling at times for relevancy. Yeah, I mean, you know, they're still doing solid.
Sure.
If you compare them just to baseball and hockey, they're doing solid. It just really stinks when you have to compare it to football.
And I think there is some thought that potential NBA expansion teams would kind of parallel at least a couple of the thoughts about Major League Baseball in terms of maybe Nashville or Montreal. I know some people have floated Louisville. I just don't know if that's going to work. But yeah, there is some thought that they might try to go down the same path that Major League Baseball is looking to expand. Or maybe even Mexico City. That would be intriguing to me.
That gets tough on travel.
Okay. Do you think...
How far of a flight is it to Mexico City from here? 3.5 hours?
I'll have to look that up.
What I'm saying. Yeah. You just start going to Minnesota and you go, hey, you got a 10-hour flight.
Sure.
Like, good luck being a competitive team if your travel gets that complicated.
Do you think you would make the same argument about, like, let's just say Dallas to Toronto? Like, I feel like the NBA has kind of set a somewhat of a precedent that, like, hey, we can have teams really, really north.
Yeah,
and perhaps really, really south.
Toronto is like from New York. That's a 45-minute flight.
No, that's true. I'm just saying if we're using all the teams, so like I'll have to look. I don't know how long of a flight it is to Mexico City, but if it is shorter for...
Maybe it's 2 hours from Dallas. I don't know.
If it's shorter for Dallas, Oklahoma City, like there'll be some teams that have to make long road trips for sure.
Yeah, okay. I'm not disagreeing with you.
Yeah,
I'm just saying like... Good point.
I don't know.
I'm saying like maybe it'll happen, but I don't know. I mean, there's also political things that might play into that too.
That might make it
difficult to put an NBA team in Mexico.
And if you don't think it's going to happen, like we said, just look at the Four Nations where they absolutely changed up the format because of geopolitical issues. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's chat with those fellas from the G-Bag Nation. Right here on 105.3 The Fan. KNC Masterpiece.
What's going on?
I mean, that talking was just a little bit too long.
The least surprising thing.
I think it was the content more than anything. Yeah. But you're right. It is very difficult to keep up a 4.0 grade average. Can't see masterpiece.
And maintain particular body parts.
Absolutely. Right here on 105.3 The Fan. Right now, courtesy of D&M Leasing. Hold on, Mike. It's time for
you
our
chat
with those fellas from the G-Bag Nation. Gentlemen, how is you today?
Terrific, Heggy. Maintained a 4.0 all the way up until 7th grade.
Hey, all right.
Yeah. You can't got triple crazy stamp a double stamp.
Algebra. Look where it got you.
Algebra, right? Yeah, my mom would tell me, yes, algebra got me. I was Dunsky.
Me too.
Mom would tell me if you have a 3.5 grade point
alcohol
average,
got me.
We'll get you a new car when you turn 16, right? And then it changed to if you get a 3.0. And even that was kind of an uphill battle.
Damn. And then it turned into if you only blow a 0.08.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, but it was fun. School was nice, you know, in and out.
So, Mike, I know I can only put you off for so long. You look very excited to say something.
If we have to do this show again for 4 hours tomorrow and it's just me and you, I don't know if I'm going to do it.
Because you have to pay attention the whole time.
I don't know if I'm going to do it.
This is too much concentration. You know, you guys complain about baseball games when they're going 3.5 hours. Listen to us going, you guys are about to go 5 hours. Can you imagine doing a 5-hour show with just two people?
We did last Friday.
It actually went pretty quick.
Yeah, and you got Lucius's huge help there too. So we had three guys going.
All right.
But 5 hours is too much.
Weave for 5 hours? No, thank you.
If we could talk about the draft for 5 hours, that we can do that standing on our heads.
Every day?
Oh, I love talking about the draft. Like, you like talking about basketball? Like
not when anymore.
Okay.
Well, I'm just
doing the tell.
Let me ask you this though: you're just totally out on the NBA, and I disagree with you. I think the players today are better than the players from back in the day.
I won't disagree in certain aspects, but the cheating.
I think they're more athletic, more talented.
Well, I will say more athletic.
Yeah.
I don't know if they can dribble. If you put them under 2003 rules, just recently watching the Kings and Trailblazers play the Mavericks in Game 7s, and you made them dribble the way Damon Stoudemire, Mike Bibby, Steve Nash, Nick Van Exel.
I get it.
I don't think they could dribble. They'd be like, I don't know how to dribble like this.
I don't think they're as skilled, and that's why I think they had to dribble the way they did.
No. But they carry the ball so much.
Yeah, but that's, you know, like I said, to me, it's the way that as athletes as they move, it makes it to me when you watch dribblers back in the day, and David Hellman and I used to argue about this, like Bob Cousy and stuff like that.
Well, that's
and Hellman would drop down and he would do that kind of dribble. But to me, you know, I think that the way that the guys get up and down the court, the 3-point shooting, I understand. But to me, these guys are so much better athletes than the guys when I was watching like CBS in the 70s, watching those guys play the 76ers, Bobby Jones and McGinnis. I was watching all those teams play, and it was always the Lakers and the Celtics. I think overall the product is better now than it was in the 70s and the 80s. I think they're better teams, and I think it's because of the skill level of the players. I understand the game is not the same game, and the shot making is not. I just think these guys are so good at it that the carrying of the ball and all that, it's kind of part of the game now.
I get it. And one changed it. I was thinking about this. I think and one ruined the game.
Sure.
I get how popular it became. And it's like,
And
like Rafer Alston, Skip to My Lou, and the professor, and I'm forgetting all the people's names. They were doing so many illegal things.
Yeah.
They're like, well, that's fun to watch, but it's you can't do that. Now you can do all of those things. But I agree with you in this, but I won't agree with you in one thing. If I turned on CBS when I was a kid in 1986, 100% chance Larry Bird, Kevin McHale, Robert Parrish, Danny Ainge, and Dennis Johnson were playing. 100% chance A.C. Green and Byron Scott and James Worthy and Michael Cooper and Magic Johnson and Kareem, they were playing. Now it's a 50-50 proposition if they're playing, and it's 50-50 if they want to play hard in that game.
Yeah, and I think that the money has a lot to do with that, and I think that these teams don't have as good a control over their players that way too,
right,
is another thing. But I'm
with you in the athleticism.
I enjoy watching playoff basketball today as I did like in 1970 and 1980.
Yeah.
I just, to me, it's the game's really all bogged down. To me, this thing opens up with the passing and stuff like that. I just think it's better that way.
I wasn't around for this, but why didn't Milwaukee tell Kareem Tough S you want to go to L.A.? Like, how is this?
Well, I had Oscar Robertson together in 71. Like, that was an incredible team.
So, to me, the league is fit. At this point, I do believe the league is fixed for the Lakers. I think that commissioners for 50 years understand if the Lakers become irrelevant, if they do not have a superstar on their team we can market, we lose market share, we lose eyes. And every time it looks like they're in deep S, we only have Nick Van Exel and Eddie Jones. What the hell is going on? Shaq's going from Orlando to L.A. Mm-hmm.
How do you think those teams, though, with the Showtime Lakers, how were they built, though?
And
with,
everybody didn't take Kobe until 13.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was crazy. Sorry to cut you off.
No. I just was wondering, like, oh, what did they do? Because that show you guys wanted me to watch, was it called Showtime?
It's Winning. Winning.
I've seen clips of it, and I can't find it now. Where do I get to watch?
Max. It should be on Max.
Is it on Max?
Yeah, it's on Max.
Because it looks fascinating.
Yeah. It's awesome.
It talks like, I wonder how they built those teams. I wonder if it was just literally like the clips you see where dudes are like yelling and MFing each other, like, no, we're keeping this guy or this, you know. How did they get those teams so good? I mean, they lost that.
Didn't they trade for Kareem?
They traded for Kareem. He didn't want to play Milwaukee anymore, and then they got a
There was a trade for the pick that went for Magic like a year before.
Yeah.
So it was like, oh, perfect. We have the top pick here when Magic Johnson's
coming out.
See,
I can understand what you're saying about the Lakers, but I wonder if there was a time where they actually knew what the hell they were doing, building basketball teams, you know?
Yeah, but how did they get so lucky? And then when they stop building, you're around for Van Exel, Eddie Jones. It wasn't a very good team. And then Shaq shows up. They get Kobe. Kobe wouldn't work out for any other team. Jerry West figured it out. And then when things started going bad for Kobe after Shaq left, who helped them out? Their former general manager and president, who's over with the Memphis Grizzlies, says, you know what'll make the Lakers great again? You got Kobe. Your problem is the secondary player. Here's Paul Gasol for a bag of beans. Now, his brother Mark Gasol ended up working out 3 years later. Yeah. Nobody knew that Mark Gasol could be good. But like a bag of beans for Paul Gasol, what happens? Back-to-back champs. They're making another NBA Finals. They're losing in it. And it just seems like, oh man, the Lakers, LeBron's career is almost coming to an end. They're becoming irrelevant. And I'm not saying Luka's going to be the savior, but I think the NBA sees him as a possible savior for the league, for the Lakers, and the Lakers are the most important product in the league.
Why am I the guy that doesn't think they'll ever build a great team around Luka in L.A.?
Well, because you have to build a very specific type of team, I think, as well. And that's what's so frustrating is it feels like the Mavericks
had built
that team.
He might be going to a place that he's going to go die. And I mean die in a... we're not going to see the level.
I hope that the Lakers are a Max Christie away for the next decade.
If they do,
they're looking for their Derek White.
Point, 2 years from now, Luka is, I'm just saying, like, let's just say he's an alcoholic and he's struggling. Mm-hmm. Anthony Edwards is going to be an LA Laker. They'll fix it. They'll be like, all right, Luka's not the answer. To your point, Luka might not be the answer. Dude, 2 years from now.
Can they do that with Wemby? Get Wemby out of San Antonio? Please.
They might.
Get Wemby over there.
Wemby.
They have to figure out who is the person that can be this international, like, when we put him on television 20 times, this is going to work.
Are people going to care about Luka if the Lakers aren't any good?
Not that much. No, they got to win.
Yeah, because...
We don't always watch... I know, Heggie, you watch... Mike, you watch a lot of basketball, but I'm always sitting down watching the Denver Nuggets play. I'm not always watching Jokic play.
The Laker-Utah game, the second highest-rated basketball game this year against the Utah Jazz?
Yeah, ratings were through the roof. Yes. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying, though, but are you going to sit around and watch Luka play bad basketball
team?
Probably
not.
But to test Mike's theory, don't you think good role players are going to end up there one way or another?
I don't trust that. I think Mike's saying this. He's telling me the league has to help him build their team.
I think they will.
Yeah.
Or agents will.
That's what I'm saying. I wasn't alive for Kareem, but how did Milwaukee just give away the best player in the league?
We're giving too much faith to general managers in all sports and the way scouting departments. I mean, this thing to me, there's Bill Walsh said this one time. I heard him say this. He goes, there's only six teams in the NFL you have to worry about. Everybody else you don't have to worry about.
Yeah.
I think that's the way it is in professional sports.
So Jerry West is considered the best ever, like, front office person.
He's gone to, and he went to Memphis. And
what did he do in Memphis? What team did he benefit the most in Memphis?
No question.
The Laker. Isn't that, I mean, it's just.
No, he was a Laker, and he helped build those great teams.
And he helped the Lakers when they couldn't find the answer for Kobe after Shaq left. He was the one who sent the player from his team. He was now running
to the Lakers. He knew the Lakers. He knew what to do. Yeah.
I hope I'm wrong. I know it's obviously one of those kind of JFK
No, I heard you
things.
Talking about it, and I'm like, man, I'm usually a back in the day guy.
Yeah.
Back in the day for that, I think they're better today watching guys play. That's just me.
I think for the most part, every
more
sport
talent.
Is.
Yeah.
Right? They compared on the Super Bowl, like the offensive linemen were an average of 245
sure.
pounds.
Oh, that's Super Bowl one, yeah.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I think that
bigger, faster,
all
stronger.
Are, we're learning how to do things.
Yeah. Yep.
Better and also get hurt more, I guess.
What do you guys got coming up on the program today?
Pure Gold, as always, thanks for asking. Everything that's been breaking throughout the day coming up right here in 5 minutes.
All right, roll home with the G-Bag Nation. We have been the KNC Masterpiece. Make your way back with us tomorrow, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on 105 Through the Fan.
Say goodnight, Kevin.
Good night, Kevin.
All right, everybody, it's here. The March to Spring Training and Opening Day is officially upon us. Hey, I'm Rob Bradford from Baseballs and Boring, and we'll have you covered every single day with instant reactions to late-breaking signings, determining which players are, yes, truly in the best shape of their lives, and behind-the-scenes stories from all the excitement and intrigue that spring training brings. Follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.